Hello, this is, the day is March 11, 2025. This is the regular meeting of the Board of Directors for the Groveland Community Services District. We are going to call the meeting to order at 10:03, and we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, and to the Republic where it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Director Mora?
Present.
Director Swan?
Present.
Director Armstrong?
Here.
We have a storm. All right. It's my motion to move the order of agenda.
I move to approve the order of the agenda.
So I guess
little thing.
So the motion was made by Director Armstrong, seconded by Director Swan. All in favor say aye. Aye. And we both say nay. Okay. For public comment, members of the public are appreciated for taking the time to attend this meeting and provide comments on matters of just business. Public comments are subject to a 3-minute time limit with 10 minutes on an individual topic. Although no action can be taken on items not listed on the agenda, please know we are listening carefully to your comments.
Beautiful. So to submit, for those of you on the Zoom platform, to submit comments about any agenda item or during public comments in general, you can send an email to board@gcsd.org, and we will monitor that. The easier way might be to submit a comment on the Zoom platform and just in the chat feature, and we will watch for those to come up. And call those out and read those at the appropriate time. So board@gcsd.org by email or in the chat platform, or you can even use the raise your hand function in the Zoom platform, and we'll watch for that as well. So plenty of opportunity to get involved in the meeting.
And off we go. Okay, so we'll start with the information items. Starting with our fabulous fire department.
Good morning, everyone. Travis Chung, fire captain from the Groveland Fire Department. This is our staff report for the month of February 2025. As far as operations, we had a very slow month, actually, as you'll see, only 14 calls. But we did start to update our EMS bags as part of our operations. CAL FIRE has updated their EMS bag policy and basically made it standardized across the board, which is cool because all EMS bags will be matching anywhere you go. That being said, we're definitely having to purchase quite a bit of equipment to update all of our EMS bags. So we'll see that as far as our EMS budget. And then as far as equipment, engine 781 is out of service. Went out of service on February 27th. It's having quite a bit of work done. The rear main seal was leaking, and we're getting an intake strainer replaced, turbo rings tightened. Also, we'll be having a C service while Matt has it in the shop, and we'll be going down to High Tech for its annual pump test. So quite a laundry list of stuff there. All other equipment is in service. As far as training, FAE Martinez and FAE Pereira both volunteered at Castle Training Center. FAE Du attended ICS 400. He also did several training drills involving structured fire evolutions, confidence course, ventilation, RIC ops, and our battalion training for the month was incident command and control. We have a couple pictures here of some of the training that we were doing. Involving ladders, and then downstairs in the storage area, the fire station, we've built our own confidence course. So, you know, you crawl through and we have wires and stuff going across, and you're blindfolded with your breathing apparatus on. So just a good opportunity for us.
That's awesome training.
Yeah. And then
so fun.
There's a couple pictures there from Castle Training Center, where FAE Herrera and FAE Martinez were helping as part of their Fire Instructor 1 and 2 task book. and they were teaching rig operations. We also did some training over at the marina. We pulled the monitor off of our drafting hoses right there on the boat ramp. Always fun to exercise the engine like that and to get people comfortable with drafting. We also had a family visit the station from Vancouver, Canada, and they happened to stop by in the middle of a training exercise. And so kind of got them involved, and it was actually much more unique experience than a normal stop by. And their child was very excited. And then again, as I mentioned, a slow month for us in February, 14 calls, very low compared to the last 5 years. And then we updated the spreadsheet here to reflect all the calls that the county engine goes on, engine 631. And I just broke it out there in yellow. So there was, 14 calls for us, and then for them, 14 calls, 11 were in the Groveland County response area, one in the GCSD response area, and two in the county outside of the Groveland area. And then it didn't make it into the report because it wasn't completed yet, but we have officially finished the kitchen remodel at the station, which is very exciting. So that just finished at the end of last week, and everything came out amazing. When you guys get a chance to see it, I think you're going to be very impressed. And we have absolutely double the amount of countertop space, double the amount of cabinets. It's really like a proper kitchen now. So it's great.
So we can kind of take it to work now.
Yeah. And we'll definitely have a bunch of pictures and stuff, for that in the March.
Refrigerators for each shift?
not quite there, but we have enough to do what we need to do for sure. And that concludes my report. Unless there's any questions, we also have Chief Torres and Chief Murphy here. Yeah. I guess I just think we want to add.
Just a silly question. So Castle Training Center, is that where the Castle Air Force Base used to be? Is that why it's the, okay?
Yep.
I had a quick question. The improvements to the kitchen, how did it do with the improvements to the food?
The cooking level should go up dramatically.
It should inspire.
So does that mean 28 total calls?
Between both the engines.
14 and 14? Yeah, okay.
There is one or two overlaps there where we both went on the same call.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow, 14 apiece.
Yep.
Amazing.
On the Cal Fire side of things, so again, permits will be required May 1st. So for folks that are doing their yard cleanup or anybody online that is listening, now's the time to do it without a permit, as long as it's a burn day. We'll go to peak staffing, so 22 engines in the unit for Cal Fire the first week of April. And then just transitioning in with the aircraft over the next couple months. The copter is there at Columbia currently. So inclement weather coming up. I'll get some snow here, I would imagine. So I've seen.
It's not like 2 years ago.
March. Oh yeah. On the county fire side of things, a lot of changes with county government, department heads, staff, layoffs. Public safety is, and libraries, parks and rec are maintaining their status as far as no cuts currently. That includes fire. So we anticipate they're projecting about $2 million out of the general fund into fire. We're a separate fund. So we're supposed to be status quo for the next year, next fiscal year. So good things.
For the 25-26 fiscal year?
Yeah. We'll go 26-27 next year.
Yeah. I guess that's a concern is, the funding dramatically changes for Portland County Fire, 26.
Yeah.
A year from now.
Right.
Just because the SAFER grant runs out. That's if the SAFER grant's not affected by any cutbacks. You know,
right.
Of course, none of us know, but it is funded through FEMA. FEMA did have some cuts on certain things recently. So I doubt it. I'm not planning on
it. Yeah, they're saying public safety is going to be left alone, but they canceled all their classes at the National Fire Academy. So that's a concern for fire service nationwide. We'll see.
Some changes in staffing I can touch on too for Engine 631 and 781. FAED will be transferring down to baseline. Fire Center, he's going to be going down on 317, will be his first day down there. We actually have FAE cells from 631 who's transferring over to 781 to work with Travis. And then we also have a person coming from baseline, Josh Finder, local, worked here quite a few years as a paramedic, so it'd be a great addition to the team up there on Engine 631.
Oh, he's a medic, huh?
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have the equipment for it.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
All good, except for the cutback stuff, but anything else? Any questions or comments from people in the room?
Now I know why 781 wasn't sitting outside in front of the station, but because it's in the hospital. I just made a comment that Travis, every time I drive by the station, they found the engine sitting out front, which is fine. You know, I mean, any engine is a good engine. But right now, and for the next several months, we really need to be promoting GCSD as the that is the GCSD stations funded by GCSD tax dollars. There still seems to be some confusion out there.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I contacted Mario and Andy about it. And I didn't know that 781 was.
Let's say
broke. Yeah. Anyway,
that's one thing we've realized too with Metro. We need that. It's kind of an identity crisis because everybody sees Cal Fire and they always say, "Oh, it's just Cal Fire, it's a state funding," but they don't realize, a lot of people don't realize, it's local dollars that are funding. Mm-hmm.
Right. We need to understand this contract.
All right. Before we move on, I'm going to back up because after we read the public comment, I didn't ask if there was any public comment. Anybody in the room have anything that you want to bring up? Anybody online?
Pat, F, and Ronnie are the only public members on the Zoom platform. Just want to make sure that you know that if you're speaking in public comment on the agenda, which are non-agenda items, you can raise your hand.
Good morning, everybody. I don't have anything to share, but good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Trisha F. is in
there. Okay, thanks, Pat.
All right, then we shall move on to Bob Asquith and his survey board.
All right. By the way, we're welcoming Firefighter Cells, is that the right term? He is going to be the contact between CERT and replacing Rex. So we'll look forward to that. I haven't actually met him yet. I understand he works here.
2 years.
We participated. There was an interesting couple of pieces in this puzzle. I'm on a lot of communication circuits with other CERT people. There are still CERT people working to support the sheriff and the fire department in LA from their fires. Not a lot of them, but there were as many as 800 at one point that had been deployed, and there are still some that are busy working there. Also, an event that did not involve our CERT, but was interesting, I participated in. The Red Cross held a drill where Red Cross and CERT people showed up in Angel's Camp at the high school, and somebody came out and announced that there was a senior home where there was an explosion and a development right near there of 40 homes. Go set up your shelter. That was the only instruction. And there were about 75 people there. And it went pretty smoothly. Gives everybody an idea of what needs to happen quickly when something like that happens. Anyway, meanwhile, here locally, the CERT training that we've applied for funds, the Sonora Area Foundation put off the decision making until the board meeting in March. So you don't happen to know when the board meeting is for them? Okay, I'll check on that. Anyway, as you recall, we had put in for funding for CERT training. We've got about a list of almost 40 people locally here that are interested, and the county wanted to add some people to the list. First Light Resorts has agreed to give us at no charge their event hall, Peregrine Hall, for the training. It's a Friday night, Saturday all day, Sunday all day. And they also agreed to put up the instructors, which were coming. I think one comes from Clovis and one comes from Long Beach, put them up for the weekend and feed them. I think that would be a pretty good gig for an instructor. Get to stay at Firefall for the weekend. Anyway, we have the student manuals for that. We have the everything else for that. We're just looking for the funds to pay the instructors. Our smoke detector, partnering with the Red Cross and the fire department, has been rescheduled to June 7. At the time, the Red Cross and I made the decision, it looked like Friday night would have snow left over on the ground for Saturday. And Becky said the Red Cross doesn't do snow. So rather than have people poking around potentially in snow-covered roads, walking between homes to put them in, we're going to wait until June 7. That was the next opportunity on both of our calendars. And again, it's teams of three people, one firefighter, one Red Cross, and one CERT person that are going into each home. And it's basically to install up to four smoke alarms. But one of the other things that the Red Cross is doing in the process is noting anything of the people in that residence that everybody else in the community needs to know about. Do they need to be doing wellness checks more regularly? Is there some unsafe condition in the place and so forth? That's part of the protocol. Safety Committee in Pine Mountain Lake and CERT are partnering again for wildfire preparedness workshops. We held the first one a couple of weeks ago. Thank you very much for the fire crews that showed up from both engines. They supplied some really good information, 4291, the zones, and the kinds of things that people can do to make their house safer. We have three more scheduled for the year, May 10, July 12, and August 23. So all of the speakers showed up and had some really good things to say, with the exception of animal control, and they were doing animal control. So, but they said that they would be there in the future. So those are all at the Lake Lodge. And let's see, that's pretty much the highlights of it all. So I'm sorry, we have an important thing happening. Our next training session, which is at the end of the month, is firefighter rehab. And we'll have our ambulance out here. We've, since the last time we had this, we found some holes in the process, and so we've plugged them up. We have the right signage now. We doubled the number of blood pressure meters that we can do, so we can handle a lot more firefighters. The last time we didn't have enough, and it was pointed out to us that if there was something serious, we'd need a lot more equipment. So Adventist Health stepped up and gave us a donation, and we acquired the equipment. So we're going to do that again the last Saturday of this month, and then taking the suggestion from the people, the Cal Fire people that were there last time, is do a drill. So we've reserved the following month, which is the last Saturday in April for a drill. And what that looks like, I'm not quite sure yet, but I'll get with these guys and we can figure out what it's about. Basically, it is CERC will be at home and there'll be a call come in maybe to Pete or somebody that says we need help. And we'll go through the entire drill right on down the communication line until we all show up at wherever that happens to be. So that's the last Saturday of April. I'm not sure which of you gentlemen I should be working with about that, but we'll get that worked out. Now that's it.
Very nice.
I had a quick comment on the zones that Bob brought up. The zone zero, if you're not familiar with it, is, if you have a fair thing, you might be. But the Board of Forestry is going to vote this month, I think this week, on zone zero and implementing as far as 4291, the 100-foot clearance. And that's basically no flammable items within 5 feet of your home. That's ornamental shrubbery, that's fences, that's landscape bark. Any of that stuff is going to be part of the, likely it will pass as part of the 4291 effective January 1st. So we'll see what the result of that meeting is, but the county, and we probably should as well, Groveland, start doing some informational stuff so people are aware of that for next year. And that really is the, if you watched any, there's a ton of videos on YouTube about timber resistance and fires like what happened in LA and the Tubbs fire in Sonoma or the Paradise fire. The structures become the fuel, right? So it's not as much the trees and the brush, it becomes the houses. So they found that the ember wash, it's called, on those structures is igniting that material within 5 feet of the home. That could even be decks that aren't attached to the home, different things. So some changes coming up with 4291.
Wow.
We'll keep you informed.
What about decks that are attached to the home?
I think those are okay. But
what's the difference?
That seems like it would be worse.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a fence attached to
come
a home.
Come on. It's just like a fence. Yeah, you know, probably. How many houses have fences, especially in
neighborhoods? And I have bark. And I have ornamental shrubbery.
So, yeah. You got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
and Andy, the guys that did the last workshop, they showed that Embercast video. Those are really effective, and that's a big piece of why we're holding those workshops, is to get that information out there. So whether does that come from you or Mario or Emily? If I can get that information as soon as you know it, the next one is May 10. It would be good to know that has changed.
Yeah, for sure. We'll push it out.
Does County OAS have those videos linked on their website? You know,
I don't think
where
so.
It is.
I'm on YouTube. Cal Fire did one too, where they had one with the yard, with just a normal yard with fence, and one with the zone zero clearance. And they put the fans on the embers, and that was just within a few minutes out of the house caught fire. The one that had zero clearance did the same conditions. Just a YouTube search. I'm trying to find it.
Yeah, it was on the Cal Fire site. I think it was Renee found it and then published it or put it on for us. It might be something worth showing at your next board meeting. It was very dramatic.
Readyforwildfire.org has information on zone zero. And all the other defensible space stuff as well, but might be a place to start. Those are some of the things that insurance companies are, like if you want a discount, quote unquote, the zone zero, the closing your eaves, a smaller mesh on your vents, on your home, different things like that. At least the fair plan, I have a fair plan in the city of Angeles. Those are some of the things that
fair.
Yeah.
Like our house, the house is hardy plank, so it's not wood.
Yeah.
So, does that make a difference? I mean, I know it makes a big difference, but I mean, as far as a rule,
right? That's a good thing to have hardy plank.
For sure. There's things that are flammable, likely around the windows and doors. So that's where the weakness might be. If you have like a wood frame, that's what I say.
Gutters. The gutters.
Gutters are a big one. I actually noticed that
Huge.
myself. It was we were leaving a house that after a fire went through, we'd been there 20 or 30 minutes mopping up and setting us back when we sat in the back of the fire engine open. And we're driving away, I see smoke coming out of the gutter. We, that stuff.
Is it the actual gutter or the debris in the
It's debris in the gutters. They catch the
Yeah,
lot
well,
of
yeah, it's like timber. I mean,
just like pine needles on your.
We're covered on that kind of stuff. So. But like when you have like a flower bed thing that is just wood,
Yeah.
that just comes, so it hits up against the house, that just, a little 2x4 thing. And then, of course, the deck.
As long as it's attached, it's okay.
Until they put some little brackets in their
Right.
hopes.
Who came up with that screw and drive it into the side of the house?
You had to draw the line somewhere
Yeah.
because so many people have homes. And...
Yeah, but I mean, who's the genius that came up with that? If it's attached, it's okay. It won't catch fire.
I think it's something to do too with the building code. Not certain.
God.
All
People that come up
righty. Anything
been
else?
around
The fire
fire and
department?
stuff come up with these rules.
Oh, I guess you're on, sir. You're done, sir.
I'm done with you.
You kind of made it back to fire. All right. Operations manager, is he?
He's not, he's at Big Creek right now. They're switching back over from
Oh.
Pine Mountain Lake to
Oh,
Head to
that's
Water.
right.
So
It's fine.
Yeah.
not a lot going on right now, but he does apologize for missing it.
Right.
It's a good thing that catch you water back.
Admin services?
I didn't know if we're gonna have any vote. Yeah, I mean, I
We
don't
don't
have
have
anything
anything
from Rachel
here. Yeah.
specifically. I just know Amber's been working on planning the Moons in the Park series. We're gonna start that up again late May. But other than that, I don't have anything
With the short staffing, we've been just keeping the wings
Yeah.
on
That's a good thing.
and flying,
Yeah. As
flying
opposed to
right
flipping
side
upside
up,
down. Alrighty. Well, we have the finance officer here. We
Yes.
can go there.
Okay. So I have been working with Pete, Rachel, and the consultants NBS on the rate study. I've also been training with Pam from Gilbert CPAs for the year-end close. That will be here soon. And I'm currently working on balancing and closing up the February financials. And that is
You're all
it.
very busy.
Just keeping busy. Yes, this has been
busy. Any questions, comments relating to that? Okay, then we go on to the general manager's report.
Wow, I just can't get there fast enough. You guys are just flying through this stuff. Second. I will be there momentarily. Obviously, with you have been short-staffed in the office, which just basically puts us all hands on to get things done and keep things going. And it's everything's going really well. The good thing is we're wrapping up a couple of major projects, which it consumes a large amount of each of our days, especially when we're looking at cash flow and everything else. We always get this really nice notice from the state about the 1st of March that says you need to submit any invoices by the for any projects that are state funded by the end of March, or you have to wait until after July to submit your invoices. So what happens with us is we've got this big lull in the middle of the year with weather and the ability to construct. So we start really going in March, April, May, June. So we need the out, like for example, to finish the sewer project, we got another $1 million. They could be done by the end of June. And but that would be $1 million that we couldn't submit for reimbursement until after the fiscal year, which if the budget's adopted on time, that's not too bad. But then they've got 4 months worth of invoice processing. It can be 8, 10, 12 weeks that we're sitting on that. We've got millions in, from DWR on the water project because we committed and spent the advanced funding that they gave us. So those are big concerns because we have to look at, do we have the cash to be able to cover our operation and to be able to float these contractors because we have to pay them within 30 days. Plus we've got a couple of projects closing out. So we've got the retention that we have to, you know, which is the money that we've held back through the project until we make sure that everybody gets paid and all that. So just a lot of work on Michelle to go through that, balance everything out, look at the cash, make sure that when we pay a contractor, we're not, you know, so for example, we're having to finish the sewer project, we're going to have to hold the contractor back as far as we can. And hopefully they won't start until about July 1st. Sometimes contractors say, I got to start right now, or, you know, Tim, got to keep my guys working. Yeah, but we can't start right now. We just don't have we don't have the money. I'm not saying we're in the hole or unable to pay our bills. I'm just saying if we're going to be out $3 million between water and sewer and have to hold it until the state gets a budget, that's a concern.
Yeah.
We don't want to have to go out and borrow because it's a super high interest rate for that short-term borrowing like that. But anyway, we're addressing all that in our financial planning for the future. One thing that I include the County Natural Resources Committee agenda there, the one thing that might be of interest is the CEQA waiver for fire fuels reduction projects. That was discussed. We don't know all of the details on it, but at least for the foreseeable future, there's going to be some CEQA relief, California Environmental Quality Act relief for fuels reduction projects. There's still a thought that it's going to take a lot of, you know, it's not like you don't have to think about impact on the community or the environment. So anyway, I'll be able to report more on that. We don't really have, we have some maintenance work to do if funding comes available. We'll want to get back after the work that we did 4 or 5 years ago. And also we've got a lot of piles of stuff we need to deal with. Also in the packet, there was this draft support letter. We finalized that and sent that in. And what that is, the SB 496 from Senator Hurtado. That's co-sponsored by CSDA. CSDA worked really hard to get somebody to support that, and it expands the emergency services exemption to the zero emission vehicle mandates. And that's the mandate that goes into effect for us in 2027. It requires any of our 3/4 ton trucks or larger to, when we replace them, we have to start replacing our fleet with zero emission vehicles, battery or hydrogen or whatever. That 3/4 ton and above. Fire vehicles were exempted. Thank you very much. You know, I mean, for obvious reasons. But like I said, 3/4 ton trucks, which all of ours are, and up. So this, if this passes and it looks pretty good to pass, then the law would be expanded to encompass our trucks as they respond to emergencies, not fire emergencies, but, you know, water and sewer utility emergencies and all of that. In the event that there was a fire, we would be on the emergency standby to keep the utilities going. And so this would allow us to be able to claim an exemption to that, which is much easier than trying to do the annual exemption, because PG&E doesn't have the infrastructure to support the charging of our vehicles. Yeah. So it's,
and if it's a hot day, please don't charge your vehicles because, you know,
right,
it will mess with
us. I mean, yeah, this is, that'll be a good bill if it goes through.
It really does.
I think it's ridiculous. You know, CARB really decided to take the approach of, we're just going to go ahead and put this stuff in, and then we'll work it out. Well, this is part of working it out. So hopefully it'll get support. Yeah. That's a big deal. It is. Yeah. CSGA has been working really hard on it. I don't know how these guys get so much work done, but they do. And so I just want to bring that to your attention because there are a couple of press releases that are floating out there from the senator that have my name on it as a CSGA board president. So I just want to make sure that this board knows that it's our district and CSGA has been put basically in a formal position of support for this. So if you hear anything on the street, that's what that's all about. We've got a really interesting meeting coming up. Again, these all seem to have a little bit of a fire component to them, so it's kind of interesting. One thing I did just for fun is when we started to see all the news reports about, you know, the Southern California fires and why they were out of water supply and all of that, and people were really getting twisted about it and completely misunderstanding. Just in the initial response with 20 some engines and, you know, trying to find a hydrant to get on, trying to fill the trucks, trying to run hoses, trying to, you know, you got fire sprinklers going off, you got all kinds of, you got people putting sprinklers on their roofs. The numbers came out to about 67,000 gallons a minute is what that water system would have had to have delivered. 67,000 gallons a minute would be pipes bigger than this building, you know, to be able to just keep the system charged. It's just not even possible to think that you know, you're going to keep the fire hydrant charged for an extended firefight. And telling people that systems are designed to blow a single fire hydrant at a good rate, 1,200, 1,500 gallons a minute for 2 hours. I don't understand that one fire hydrant operating at that rate. And that's what the systems are designed to store and deliver. So people see a fire hydrant and think it should work all the time. This collaborative group is statewide. It's really great because the invite list is huge. CSDA has that. This is driven by CSDA because we're the only state association that has both fire districts as members and water districts. So it's an opportunity to bring everybody together. We're doing that on the 21st of March after our legislative committee meeting. The invite list is large with primarily the chief legislative folks from each of the, you know, the Fire District Association, the Water Association of California Water Agency, CSDA, CMUA, some of the large fire departments in the state, some of the large water districts in the state, and their lobbying team will be there to all brainstorm and see how we approach this thing. Because if we don't watch it and are not aware of what's going on, this thing could turn into some mandates that none of us are able to achieve. Another zero emission vehicle mandate.
Yeah. So you're mandated to supply.
Yeah, so much water.
Yeah.
20,000
gallons. If you've got 450 hydrants, they all need to remain in positive pressure and flow at the same time.
Right. Like that's going to happen.
You know, I mean,
or they want us to build the dam.
When you think about our state legislature, that's the way things go. And you know, they start there and then they might negotiate down a little bit. But anyway, it's a big issue. You know, we want to make sure that people know too. Because you have a fire hydrant there and you have 80 burning structures around you, that, you know, somebody's going to be able to save your home. It's a big, big deal. So that those fires really helped us. I'm not saying they helped us in any way, but they really opened up a communication need and opportunity. So I'm glad CSDA is getting behind that. And that, again, that I'll be reporting out more on that when we get to next month. And that's pretty much what I included in the main part of the report. I've got, just want to report out also that Janice is not here yet. She said about a half hour. She's joined. Okay. So she's not able to participate as a voting member, but is able to listen in. And LAFCO, we had a meeting yesterday, yesterday evening at the City of Sonora's Council Chambers, and It was a fantastic meeting. We came out of it just elated that we could actually make the LACO could make decisions. It was a very cordial meeting. They had the new, the LACO executive officer consultant there, that just did a great job of doing some analysis on how much staffing we need and what what level of investment is going to be needed and reserves. And there was just agreement with everybody in the room. It was really the first time that we've seen that. I think Blacko's going in a good direction. Janice did an excellent job participating in that discussion and getting good answers to questions. And LACO is leaning toward bi-monthly meetings with, activity happening constantly, whatever's needed to get the MSR done and process applications, but bi-monthly meetings instead of monthly meetings. That's pretty much about what we've been doing with the summer recess. We'll be working through the budget over the next couple months. So that was fantastic to have that. That was a big stressor. Tomorrow morning, I will be at the radio station in downtown Sonora, recording a multi-load news program just on all things GCSD. We'll be talking about the projects and the district, the projects, the challenges, what the future looks like. Those are always fun. I've done them probably half a dozen times. But they do a great job. Really, really, it's a great opportunity to get a positive message out there. We've got so much good stuff going on. So anyway, I will be recording that tomorrow. Probably air this weekend. I'll put out a schedule by email once I find out what that is. You can listen on your...
And
I
leave at like 10 o'clock in the morning.
They do it a couple different times of the day.
Yeah.
4 o'clock in the morning.
We can get up at 5 o'clock to watch our niece play volleyball. We can get up at 4 to
it's good. That's a great community service. And we have had a legislative committee on February 21st in Sacramento, and then another one on March 21st. I talked a little bit about that, but boy, I'll tell you, there are thousands of bills are engaged in that from the fireside, but man, I'll tell you, it seems to be nuts all the time in our state. I've seen messages flying in today that GSD is having to take an opposed to position on something, which means almost all hands on some issue, it's really dynamic this time of year. The bills are really coming in. And so that is the primary purpose of CSD is to protect to protect our tax-paying and rate-paying public from crazy laws that cost a bunch and produce nothing.
Like all the electric vehicles.
If they produce something that gets us further down the road, when it addresses safety, some type of life safety, whatever, even though it costs you money, it's hard to stand up and oppose something like that, when you know it wouldn't. But so much of our state legislature is just trying to make affordable housing and different things and reduce our ability to be able to recover our cost to provide services. So it puts it on existing taxpayers to have to fund services for the future, which is really, it's not consistent with law, first off, but it just makes it tough. So good news is we're on it.
Awesome.
New question.
I have a comment from Ronnie that said that would be a fun post to create, Campa on the Radio.
Have you done this? Am I aware of you?
I've managed to escape.
I've
been asked a handful of times. I was like, too catchy.
I must be washing my hair.
Otherwise. All righty. So any other questions, comments, in-house, online, up there in the universe anywhere? Nothing? All righty. So then we'll just need to approve the consent calendar.
Yeah, I move to approve the consent calendar with the substitution of the recently delivered minutes from February 25th. Let me just explain that because we're kind of going blind with those that are online. There's a change in the minutes that you're approving. You talked about the change, but the change was specifically that we read a letter from Patricia F. That was signed by Shirley, I believe.
It was an email from Patricia.
Okay. Related to questions and requesting information about the park project budget and the changes that the district was proposing to the park project budget. And so we're working through the logistics of the request, but the minutes you're voting on reflect the fact that that letter was read publicly.
I'll second that.
All right, so the motion to approve the consent calendar was made by Director Swan, seconded by Director Armstrong. Want any further comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say nay. There's 3-0. All right. And then we shall move on to the discussion of action items. Item A, adoption of a resolution commending Assistant Chief Andrew McCreek on his retirement and serving as Director of Tampa Hospitals while serving in Groveland Fire Department.
I think we've been here before.
They're going to drag you back.
Yeah, so we, I'm going to get myself caught up or something. My computer is really doing weird stuff today. Going in reverse, when I push up, scroll up, it scrolls down. When it scrolls down, scrolls up.
Comes upside down.
I guess not. So again, we have a contractor in our relationship with CalFire under the Schedule A cooperative agreement, but I truly have never even thought of it as a contractual relationship as much as a personal relationship with our fire department, and it's reciprocal. It's been just, you could write grants, they spend the money on the things that they say they're going to get, they take care of it, and their department is structured and led very well, and Andy's done a fantastic job of not only keeping me on my toes but giving me guidance of where things are going, where we might step in a little bit as we continue down the path of relationship with the county. And that is very much appreciated on my part. It's not easy when you have to represent both the county fire and GCSD, both with different personalities, both with different interests and needs, and he's done it extremely well. And probably some of that stress might be one of the reasons that it's retirement number two. It came back because it was, there was nobody there that they. We couldn't really, he cared about it so much that when there were changes in staffing at the top, once he left, he came back and it took the pressure again for a period of time. So Andy, just, we've got a full on resolution. I don't know if you've read it. We want to get it executed and get it framed up and have you take it home with you. It's not going to be framed up today. So would we like to read the resolution? Do we want to just approve the resolution?
I will first of all move to approve resolution 09-2025 a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Gotham Community Services District commending Assistant Chief Andy Murphy for his efforts and accomplishments while serving the Gotham Fire Department. That was what I was going to do, was read the resolution part of it.
Okay.
Out loud. I mean, it'll be printed, but there's a lot of whereas. There is all whereas. Awesome. Does lots of stuff. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Groveland Community Services District, on behalf of the Board of Directors, staff, and the community, extends its deepest appreciation and heartfelt gratitude to Assistant County Fire Chief Andy Murphy for his outstanding leadership, exemplary service, and tireless dedication to protecting lives and property. And be it further resolved that this resolution of appreciation is presented to Chief Murphy as a testament through his remarkable career and lasting contributions, with best wishes for his well-earned retirement and future endeavors. I mean, it's not to say second, but and that's you know, the whole thing has got like classes of wonderful things you've done, but that's.
And I'll second.
All that. We can say is thanks a lot.
Very much so.
Thank you.
Yes.
Really been an honor and privilege to be a part of DCSD. Talking, mentioned it to Pete last week. You've really built a great thing up here since I've been involved. Great team, great working environment. It sounded like watching the video last time. That's all great stuff. And for Fire to be a part of that, for me to be a part of that, certainly an honor and a privilege. I haven't prepared anything. I'm just kind of shooting from the hip here, but I think we've come a long way in this county line for fire protection. A lot of that has to do with Pete and your board and the pressure of support, let's say, for the county to do what they've done. But not just here in Groveland, but countywide. It's been just, I think it's this county is the best protected that it's ever been, and including Groveland in that. With the professional firefighters and the support of the community and the elected and staff, it's really good, and we just have to keep going forward.
For multiple years, putting fire and emergency services as the top priority, no matter what, and standing with that's a when you're having to cut back other places, which is never a pleasant thing to do, but to consistently put fire in its place and as a high priority is amazing. That's a lot of your effort and all you guys, Mario,
our efforts, for sure.
Yeah, it is.
All of us.
It's just like here, we all cover for each other. We're all there for each other. Appreciate all your effort.
Thank you. Thank you for this recognition. I appreciate it. It means a lot.
Are you going to go to Disneyland?
No.
You're going to Reno.
Go to Reno.
Yeah. Going to Reno. That's the adult Disneyland.
This Facebook page is typical. He'll get in Tahoe tonight.
I have a table at one of the casinos. It's the handy table.
Oh, yeah. He's well decorated there as well.
Get free rooms.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, before we do our actual vote, is there any further comment in house or online?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Hi. Okay. Andy, Chief Murphy, best fireman I know. I'm going to miss you, buddy.
Going to miss you too. Thank you.
I think we should keep you as a consultant.
He doesn't look like that's very promising.
Well, thanks for all you've done for us. We greatly appreciate you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you've been awesome.
Anybody else online?
This is why I didn't. All righty, so all in favor of the resolution with so by Director Swan, seconded by Director Armstrong. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed, say nay. On to item B.
For the purpose of the resolution that's going to be delivered, I'd like to suggest that we have all board signatures on it, even though those folks that weren't here.
Okay.
I mean, we're sure the resolution will be
okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hope I didn't make it any more official than it's
any pain.
It'll help in
bring us to the point. Bring up the point. Right.
You've been awesome. We really appreciate you.
The trading guys.
Great. Item B, consideration of signing the declaration of support for the career technical education program developed by the Sonora Area Foundation.
I was, I didn't even think about it, made aware yesterday that this is the rebirth of the ROP program that, that many of us saw when we were in school. But they've done a fantastic job, the Sonora Area Foundation, and there's just a lot of support from Columbia College, the high schools, everything else to kick us off as best we can. We're all of us, including GCSD, are trying to find trained, competent employees, or even employees that will that know how to work.
It can be trained.
And this program and this there's advisory groups and everything else that are trying to pull the business and government and schools together to really make a robust program, especially locally here, through this. And so I am suggesting that we get behind this and support. I will be, as soon as we get done with the meeting, I'm going to bring you in an individual declaration if you're so inclined. But I would like to put the GCSD name on it as well. I left the individual declaration sheets in my drawer.
I move to authorize the general manager to sign the declaration of support for the career technical education program developed by the Sonora Area Foundation.
I'll second it just so it looks like I'm here.
Good. At some point,
so,
my
so
name should come up on
okay,
something.
So, I mean, well, I support this, but it would actually include a copy of the declaration. Just you have individual ones, so is that? I mean, I assume it just says we support this. That's all it does.
Oh yeah,
it affirms the district's commitment to advocating for increased funding to expand and sustain CTE programs. In other words, if we get a letter writing campaign or something, a request for it, it authorizes me on behalf of the district to bring it to our board leadership for signature without coming back to the board, promoting CTE career pathways to students, parents, and educators, strengthening partnerships between schools, businesses, and industry leaders, providing students with hands-on training, industry certifications, and work experience to enhance career readiness. Those are items directly from the certification for the declaration.
Cool. Just like
to,
yeah,
what
a great reading.
Really
cool.
All right,
any public comment?
I do, actually. So I want to stick around for this item. We obviously career technical experience education is a big part of a big part of that is also the fire service. Many of us in the fire service went up through ROP programs, or Columbia College has a great CPE program, which includes fire. We are very supportive of that. We look forward to additional support here. Recently, the county had a surplus of expired equipment that we donated to the RP program with some of our ladders and PPE, certain wear out periods for them. And then just also at the college where we donated the fire, we looked forward to the program there. there. And of course, we have that relationship at the college where we're co-located there also, and also oversee the college fire department. So this is definitely a benefit in bringing this up again and bringing that information to the public who may not be aware of it is great. We would certainly appreciate that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Any other further comments? Anybody online? Seeing none. So the motion was moved by Director Armstrong, seconded by Director Mora. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Motion carries 3-0. Okay. Item C, review and discussion regarding the preliminary cash flow as well as the three helioscope designs prepared by SiteLogic IQ. For the evaluation of facility improvements, energy conservation, energy generation, and or energy management services.
That's pretty much exactly the way that it was written on your agenda when we're authorized going forward with them. I don't think anyone of us really understood that technical jargon all that much, but basically we engage SiteLogic, which is a consultant that specializes in energy management and energy enhancement projects to take a look at our facilities and make a determination on whether we could generate power and whether it was going to be cost effective, primarily to offset our power consumption. We have high power consumption at our treatment plants and here on site. The one thing that makes a difference at this point in the evaluation is the fact that we pay so much less per kilowatt hour than if we were a direct PG&E customer. We receive power through the Potomac Public Power Agency, Public Power Authority. That is much less expensive. It's basically based on the power it's generated at New Maloney's. And it's passed through to government agencies and including the tribes at a much lower cost. So when you factor that in, the warranties on any equipment would run out before we were actually break even on this investment. So at this time, without any specific grants available, and without with the power cost the way that it is currently today, it's not cost effective. That could change certainly if the power cost exponentially goes up or gets up to the point where it's looking better. Looking more costly for power. And if the technology changes or whatever it is, we'll certainly look at it again. But due to the fact that it was determined to not be cost effective to proceed with primarily a solar farm, then there's no cost for the work that SiteLogic did. We've got all the data, so as factors change, we can plug it into the model in the future, power cost and maybe any grant subsidies that might come available. And it could look different in the future, but for now, we're not recommending moving forward. We want to close that loop with the board.
Did they, in analysis of this, did they come up with the figure for the public power entity that supplies us, what their rate would have to go up to for it to become feasible, to look more attractive?
No, but within that model, it's a pretty simple.
That would just be an interesting thing. The price of solar panels is going to change, but if nothing, there's a good chance it'll continue to go down. There's inflation, but there's also continued technology. So it'd be kind of interesting just to know how bad would it have to get before it would look attractive.
That'd be a good thing to have on record in some way. So
I'm just curious. So they didn't, but we got a model that we can fiddle with to make that.
I don't have the spreadsheet myself, but Steve was buried in things that he's doing.
Yeah, okay. It's not like it's just something that requires an urgent answer. I'm just thinking that would
be. It would be interesting. Yeah. It's, again, it's, the project is
would be in the millions of dollars. So it would need a significant, either a significant grant infusion or a significant change in the power. And that's the number that we're looking for, right? It's, what it would need to be to where the payoff might be 10 years, the payback,
right?
Versus 38 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little long for an ROI.
All right.
So no action.
Yep. Just been muted there. So do we have any other just general comments? We're at the end of the agenda.
So it's blamed on me being long-winded, but if you, the two people that are absent here, now we can spread that love a little bit. The meeting was...
You're not deflecting, are you, Pete?
No, I'm just saying I might be part of the like,
yeah.
But I am not the reason.
A third of it, maybe. Alrighty. On that note, we will adjourn the meeting at 11:09. That's funny.
Mario,
sit for you, right?
To talk to about our rehab.
Hi, guys. Take care.